Good evening. Tonight's message is called Such Were You. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we will read verses 1 to 11, where Paul is bringing forth a fault in the Corinthian church, which is they are taking one another to court before unbelievers to settle their differences. The rebuke consists of two parts. Number one, our differences ought to be settled among ourselves on the basis of love and grace, not before the wicked, who know nothing of either. Not to be able to do this makes the gospel we believe to be held in contempt by wicked men. And number two, true believers ought to endure injuries and misunderstandings with patience, love, and forgiveness, rather than seeking revenge and compensation. But that will not be the topic of our message tonight. The topic of our message will be found in verse 11 of the text that we'll read. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so, that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now the verse I'd like us to consider in this message is verse 11, where we see the words, and such were some of you. These words are attached to the verses before, which proclaim that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then we see a list of traits of those who are unrighteous: fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, or extortioners. Paul then tells the Corinthian church, and such were some of you. Beloved, the scriptures declare that we are not to forget the rock we were hewn from. Don't ever, ever forget where you came from. Don't ever forget where you were when the Lord saved you by his almighty grace. The scriptures declare in Isaiah 51:1, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that follow after Christ, ye that seek the Lord, Jehovah, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. Look back to where you were. Look back and see the rock you were hewn from, a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, with no hope in this world. The scripture goes on, whence you are hewn, to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Don't ever forget the pit that you were in, the pit of sin that you were in when the Lord saved you. We had no hope. We had no way to save ourselves. But God, by his mercy and grace, saved us. So the Apostle Paul here, again by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, brings forth a reminder to the Corinthian church and all who are born again, blood-washed saints. We who are looking at this tonight, God brings before us our natural state before we were saved. Over in Colossians chapter 3, turn if you would to Colossians chapter 3 with me. We see Paul again by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God when he's exhorting the Colossian believers to mortify their members. He brings forth the fact of our sinnership, the fact of where we were before the Lord saved us. Colossians chapter 3, we'll read verses 5 to 7. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime, when you lived in them. See, that was our state. We were just like everyone else. dead in trespasses and sins. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, turn that with me if you would there, Paul pens these words to the Ephesian church. And you, God's born-again, blood-washed saints, and you, he quickened, God quickened us, God regenerated us, who were dead in trespasses and sins, dead, with no ability to save ourselves, with no ability to regenerate ourselves, with no ability to pay for any of our sins. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were slaves to sin, beloved, just like everybody else. We were slaves to our own sins. Scripture says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were just like everyone else, dead in trespasses and sins. You couldn't tell a sheep from a goat in our natural state. Then, again in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul pens these words, and you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, there's our natural state, hath he quickened again, you're regenerated. Together with him, we're one with Christ. Heaven forgiven you, oh, wonderful words. Heaven forgiven you all trespasses, all of them. They're all gone. Praise be to God. So let me address you who are the born again, blood washed children of God. Let us read our text again. We who are the people of God, let us read this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you. That's what we were before. Those people described in verses 9 and 10. That was us in our natural state. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. If you are a believer, you're a child of God. You're now righteous before God in Christ. God calls you a saint, one who is holy, one who's been sanctified by his grace, set apart for him. But as we've seen in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians, we were not always in that blessed condition, were we? And we must never forget that, beloved. We must never forget the state we're in before the Lord saved us. That it's only by God's grace and it's only by God's mercy that we are saved, beloved. And beloved of God, we have seen in the scriptures that we just read over there in Colossians that we are admonished by God to remember who and what we were when God saved us by his grace. And we're admonished to see that even in the verse we're looking at tonight. We must never forget who and what we were by nature, sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, and also enemies in our minds with God. Listen to this wonderful scripture, which we read in Isaiah 51:1. It says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, you that follow after Christ. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye were hewn, into the hole of the pit whence ye were digged. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, we see the Holy Spirit pointedly reminds us of those things and tells us what God has done for us in Christ by his almighty grace. He reminds us of the rock that we were hewn from, beloved. Listen to that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Beloved, we are all unrighteous by nature. We were born unrighteous. Is both our evil hearts and our evil deeds make us unfit for heaven's eternal glory. Just the fact that we're sinners makes us unfit in our natural state for glory. And the scriptures declare that some were adulterers, some were drunkards, some were thieves, some were covetous. But we know from the scriptures, we all were guilty before God. Every one of us. Every one of God's elect in our natural state were guilty before God. And we were nothing but sin, and we did nothing but sin. The scripture says we drank sin like water. There's not one particle of goodness in us in our natural state. There's nothing within us in our natural state that would commend us to God. We were all born with the plague of sin. The plague of sin in our hearts, and sin was the natural course of our lives. This is what we were and where we were when God saved us by his grace. Let we who are the redeemed of the Lord never forget the rock which we were hewn from. Let us never forget the pit we were in when the Lord saved us. Sin was the path in which we chose to walk day by day until God intervened to save us by his almighty sovereign grace. Listen to these wonderful words. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 4 to 10. And just behold the wonder working power of God. Look what God has done. We saw in verses 1 to 3 how we are dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world, the lusts of our flesh. But look at these wonderful words in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. But God. Now let's just stop right there. But God. Oh, it's wonderful. God didn't leave we who are his people where we were. And we're going to see that. But God, who is rich in mercy, you cannot measure the mercy of God. You can never plumb its depths, and you can never plumb its breadth. He's rich, rich beyond measure, beloved, in grace and in mercy. Look at this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now, his love is great because he's the great eternal Jehovah. Everything he does is great. Oh, my. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, with Christ. Oh, beloved, we're in Christ. And then it says, by grace ye are saved. By grace alone. It doesn't say by man's works. It says by grace you're saved. And that's the grace of God in Christ Jesus, shown to unworthy sinners. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places, here's the key, in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, in case we did not understand in verse 5 where it says, by grace are you saved, the Holy Spirit has Paul pen these words in verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's by grace. We are saved only by the grace of God. We're not saved by anything we do. We're not saved by anything we say. It's not God in us. It's God alone who saves. He alone. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's a gift of God, isn't it? He grants us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolutely wonderful. And that not of yourself. See there? It's not of anything we do. When you receive a gift, you're just receiving a gift, aren't you? You don't do anything to earn it. It's a gift from the giver. Oh, look at this. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Salvation's a gift of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood to redeem his people at Calvary's cross, to purchase them by his own precious blood, giving his life and obtaining eternal salvation for us, for God's people. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Again, see the emphasis here? It's not of works. In verse 5, it says, by grace ye are saved. In verse 8, it says, by grace ye are saved. And then here we see in verse 8 too, it says, and that not of yourselves. And then here in verse 9, we see, not of works, not of anything you do, not of anything I do, nothing. Nothing can commend us to God. It's all what Christ did. It's all based upon his perfect, sin-atoning, finished work, beloved. Not by works, lest any man should boast. We can only boast in Christ. We can't boast about anything in us. All we are sinners. Oh, but we who are redeemed, we can boast in Christ Jesus our Lord, can't we? We can boast in our mighty Savior who saved us by his grace. And look at this. Look at this. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Oh, he's conforming us to the image of the Son, the Father is. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now we are but saved sinners, beloved. We are saved sinners, but we're still plagued with sin. But praise be to our great and glorious God, we are saved right now. We who are trusting and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago when he died on Calvary's cross as the great sinner's substitute. And let us never forget that there is no evil recorded in the Word of God or written upon the pages of human history, the seed of which is not in your heart and mine, by nature. And the hearts of all men and women are cesspools of iniquity, as one preacher says, in which the loathsome monster sin produces its many offsprings. And we are constantly reminded of this, aren't we? We are constantly reminded of the painful fact that we're just sinners. In the Word of God, God's people are constantly reminded that we're just sinners saved by grace. Why is this brought before us in Scripture? Well, here's four reasons I'd like us to look at. Number one, to humble us and to keep us from pride and self-righteousness to which we are so naturally inclined. Number two, to honor, exalt, and magnify the grace of God in Christ. Number three, to encourage sinners to come to Christ with all their sins, trusting Him alone for salvation and eternal life. And number four, to inspire in our hearts the intense zeal and ardent love for Christ, our great Savior, so richly deserves. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the honor. He deserves all the praise, beloved. Now, we, by nature as humans, are a proud, boastful bunch. This is true of all of us, saved and lost. And by nature, we see in the Scriptures that we are reminded of the fact that we are sinners by birth, nature, and choice. Even after we're saved, we still struggle with sin. We actually struggle more so with sin now after we are regenerated and born again, because now we know what sin is. So the first point I'd like us to consider of why we are reminded of our sinful past and what we were when the Lord saved us is to humble we who believe. Paul, in the words we looked at, brings forth where we were when the Lord saved us. When we as believers see this truth revealed, the fact of our sinnership, then we're humble. And this keeps us from being proud, as we know the only one who made us to differ is God and God alone. The only one who made us to differ, we who are saved and redeemed from the lost, is God. So the fact of our sinnership being revealed in the Scripture is to humble us and to keep us from pride and self-righteousness, to which, again, we are so naturally inclined. Listen to how clear the Scripture is. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And notice how clear the Scripture is, that it is God and God alone who has made us to differ one from another, who has made us to differ, we who are the redeemed, from anyone else in the world. It's nothing we've done. It's nothing we've said. Nothing we've prayed. Nothing. It's all the grace of God in Christ. We were made willing in the day of His power. It's He who's chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's He who's redeemed us at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's He who's made us to differ. It's the Holy Spirit who's regenerated us. We could never regenerate ourselves. We could never make ourselves anew. We could never change our dead natural state before God. We must be born again. We must be. And that's the work of God, the Holy Spirit. So listen to how clear this Scripture is. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Who made you and I, as believers, to differ from anyone else in this world? Now, there's billions of people in this world. Who made us to differ from them? If you're a believer and you're hearing this message, who made you to differ from anyone else in this world? It was God, isn't it? It's God alone. And then look at this. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, salvation's a gift from God. We received it from God. He gave it to us in Christ and through Christ. We couldn't work for it. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't merit it. As we saw, it's by grace and grace alone, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 2. We're saved by grace, period. So what do you have that thou didst not receive? Now think of that. Even all the knowledge we know, it all comes from God. Everything comes from the Lord. And that says here, now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? See, man is naturally inclined to self-righteousness. Man is naturally inclined to be proud. That's in our nature. And even as believers, we still struggle against that, don't we? There's no difference between any of God's elect and the most vile reprobate in the world, except the difference made by the grace of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As our text brings forth, it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It's Christ who has washed us from all our sins in His precious, precious blood. It's Christ in whom we're sanctified, in whom we're made holy, in whom we're set apart. It's Christ and Christ alone in whom we're justified before God. And it's by the Holy Spirit of God that we're born again. Praise God. All our sins have been forgiven. All of them bought and paid for. How? By the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have been washed in His blood, sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our great God. The second point I'd like us to consider of why we are reminded of our sinful past and our sinnership and what we were is, number two,
to honor, exalt, and magnify the grace of God in Christ. Beloved, by the grace of God, we are what we are. In His matchless grace, God chose us in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His matchless grace, redeemed us with His precious, precious blood. And God the Holy Spirit, by His matchless grace, regenerated us and preserves us, beloved. Listen to these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. For ye see your calling, brethren. Paul's writing again to born-again, blood-washed saints. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and such things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now remember the list that we read. Oh, the base things of the world. That was us in our natural state. Why? Why has He done this? Why has God shown grace and mercy to the base things of the world? Well, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Verse 29. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. Christ is all our wisdom. In righteousness, He's the Lord our righteousness. We're clothed in this perfect, spotless righteousness. And sanctification, we're sanctified in Christ. And redemption, oh, praise be to God, the eternal souls of God's people have been purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He obtained eternal redemption for us, beloved. Hallelujah. And then it says in verse 31 that according to it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, beloved, we have nothing to glory about in ourselves. But let we who are the redeemed of the Lord glorify our great God and our great King. He alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, is worthy of all honor and all praise. And let us exalt and magnify the matchless grace of God in Christ, which has been shown to we who are the redeemed of the Lord. The third point I'd like us to consider, why we were reminded of our sinful past and our sinnership and what we were before the Lord saved us, is number three, to encourage sinners to come to Christ with all their sins, trusting Him alone for salvation and eternal life. Let we who are the redeemed of the Lord consider what grace has done for us and for so many saints who have gone before us. Christ is willing to save any sinner who simply trusts Him. What He has done for me, He can do for you. Listen to these wonderful words from Isaiah chapter 1 in verses 18 to 20. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, that's double dye red there. They shall be white as snow. Oh, and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses His people from all sin and makes us white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, there they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Are you laden down with sin? Are you laden down with sin? Are you trying to work your way to heaven by your own works? Well, cast those works aside. They're nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. You'll never be accepted by God by your own righteousness. The only way you or I can be accepted by God is to trust in Christ and Him alone for the salvation of your soul. Listen to this in Matthew 11. Similar words as Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Listen to this. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me. These are the words of the Master. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Are you heavy laden by your works? Are you heavy laden by your performance, trying always to do? Look to the one who's done it all. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give it to you, he says. I will give you rest. That's a promise from God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Rest! Man's always trying to find peace and rest. This is true rest. This is soul rest. Rest from our labors, religious works. Rest for your soul. And not only rest, that rest can only be found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's because He's done all the work. He's done it all. All we do is simply trust the Lord Jesus Christ by God-given faith. Oh my. Oh, may God make you willing to trust the Lord Jesus Christ in Him alone. The fourth and final point I'd like us to consider, why we are reminded of our sinful past and what we were when the Lord saved us, is to inspire in our hearts the intense zeal and ardent love for Christ, our great Savior, that He so richly deserves. Surely, surely, men and women who have experienced such rich, abundant, saving grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ will love and serve such a great Savior with willing hearts. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Oh, we see a picture here of this occurring. Luke chapter 7. Oh, God's so gracious. He's so merciful to His people. Look at this in Luke chapter 7. We'll read verses 36 to 50. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. One of the Pharisees invited the Lord Jesus Christ to his house to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Well, there we are, eh? When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now look at this. Here comes the self-righteous Pharisee. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He didn't say this out loud. He said this within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Oh, listen to that. Listen how he drips with self-righteousness. He said this within himself. No one else heard it. But God, incarnate in the flesh, is sitting there. And He knows our hearts, He knows our thoughts, He knows everything about us, about every single person in this world. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast judged rightly. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water. Now it was customary when you invited a house guest over to do these things that the Lord's going to mention. It was customary in those times. I entered into thine house and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou dost not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Oh, those are wonderful words. That's a master saying that. That's God incarnate in the flesh saying that to that lady. That's one of His sheep, beloved. That's one of His sheep that was given to Him by the Father from eternity. Thy sins are forgiven. Let that ring in the ears of we who are the redeemed. Thy sins are forgiven, praise be to God, by the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they that sat at meat with Him began to say within themselves again, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith save thee. Go in peace. She'd been given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. She'd been given the same faith that you and I have as believers, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. My, go in peace. Go in peace, beloved. Oh, this is wonderful. So we who are redeemed of the Lord, we who have tasted that the Lord is gracious, again, we who have experienced such rich, abundant, saving grace, will love and serve such a great Savior with willing hearts. We will desire to magnify His name for His great grace and for His great mercy, which He has shown to the redeemed. Undeserving, unmeriting sinners in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received grace and mercy in and through Him. We will desire to magnify His name for His great grace and His great mercy, which has been shown to we who are the redeemed. We who are undeserving, unmeriting sinners. And we have been shown this grace and this mercy in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Glory to our great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, for His perfect sin-atoning work, which He accomplished on Calvary's cross as our substitute, dying in the room and place of God's people. He came to save His people from their sins. And we who are redeemed own our sinnership, don't we? We proclaim that the perfect, spotless Lamb of God by His self and by His work has redeemed us. He saved us. He sanctified us and He's justified us before God. Upon a life I have not lived, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. O Jesus, Son of God, I lean on what Thy cross has done for me. There both my death and life I read, my guilt and pardon there I see. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the mighty name of our Lord and King. Amen and amen.